Rootstock Radio from 5:30 to 6. Then at 6 p.m., stay tuned for In the Know. And now here's this week's edition of Disability Beat.
This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for a pre-recorded interview with Barb Bresner and Allison Boot about the upcoming Disability Resource Expo on March 30th, 2019. But first, disability news for the week of March 17th, 2019. A Northern California high school special education teacher was arrested last weekend after police said he created a fight club style atmosphere in his classroom, encouraging his students to fight each other while refereeing the brawls himself, authorities said. Frederico Vargas, a 41-year-old special education teacher at Cloverdale High School in Sonoma County, California, was arrested on suspicion of 5 counts of endangering a child and 13 counts of contributing to the delinquency of minors. Investigators said that the multiple students sustained injuries and one student required medical treatment because of the fighting. One of the fights refereed by Vargas was captured on a student's cell phone, police said. Authorities think the fights occurred during a few class periods over 2 days last week, but the investigation is continuing, said the superintendent, Jeremy Decker. Police said the fights appeared to be isolated to Vargas's classroom. Decker said school officials learned about the fights through an employee and said he encouraged all students and staff to speak up if they see or hear anything concerning. Vargas, who has worked for the district for 8 years, was immediately placed on leave pending the outcome of the investigation, according to Decker. Online retailer Amazon has removed listings for 2 books claiming to offer cures for autism. The books promote chlorine dioxide, also known as Miracle Mineral Solution, and chelation as supposed cures for autism. However, the Food and Drug Administration has warned that there is no cure for autism, and products or treatments professing to do so may carry significant health risks. A search for autism cure on the site continues to bring up hundreds of results. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, there are no medications to treat or cure autism's core symptoms, but early intervention can improve outcomes. Nonetheless, the agency said research shows that as many as 10% of parents of kids with autism may be using a potentially dangerous treatment. Amazon's decision to remove the books from its website comes just days after Facebook issued a new policy aimed at preventing the spread of misinformation about vaccines on its platform. A 1998 study sparked concerns about a link between autism and the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, but research was retracted in 2010, and medical experts say there is no association between vaccines and autism. With his latest budget proposal, the president is calling for significant changes to Medicaid that advocates say would have big consequences for people with disabilities. President Donald Trump released a $4.75 trillion plan last week to fund the federal government for the next fiscal year. The proposal features broad cuts to domestic spending, an increase in funding for defense, and money for a wall along the border with Mexico. Within the budget request is a plan to give states additional flexibility over the Medicaid programs through per capita cap or block grant systems. Essentially, rather than sending matching grants to states to cover whatever services are provided to beneficiaries no matter the cost, Trump's plan would see the federal government provide a fixed amount of money to states each year for Medicaid services. The approach has been pushed by Republicans several times in recent years as a way to rein in spending on the entitlement program. It is broadly opposed by disability advocates who say that limiting federal spending would squeeze states and jeopardize their ability to fund services that people with developmental disabilities rely on. In a statement last week, the ARC said Trump's budget request, quote, would put the lives of people with disabilities at risk, end quote. Aside from Medicaid, the budget request calls for cuts to numerous programs, including state councils on developmental disabilities, independent living programs, and respite care efforts, while slashing funds altogether for Special Olympics education programs and doing away with $51 million in initiative to address autism and other developmental disorders. The budget request serves as a blueprint of the president's priorities, but it's up to Congress to decide how to allocate federal dollars. And finally, U.S. Representative John Katko of New York unveiled a proposal this month he says will eliminate barriers to marriage for people with disabilities. Katko sponsored a bill that would protect supplemental security income benefits for people with developmental and intellectual disabilities. Currently, when two people who rely on SSI marry, their benefits can be at risk because they must jointly report their income. SSI is provided to people with disabilities who lack income. The assistance helps cover basic expenses such as clothing, food, and housing. An issue paper published by the Social Security Administration in 2003 details how SSI benefits are affected by marriage. If two people who receive SSI benefits marry, they would receive 25% less than they would if they lived together but didn't marry. Katko's bill, which is co-sponsored by Representative Bill Keating of Massachusetts, would ensure SSI benefits aren't affected by marital status. To calculate SSI benefits for an individual with developmental or intellectual disabilities, only their income and other financial information will be reviewed. Their spouse's earnings won't be a factor. The bill also provides access to Medicaid for those with developmental or intellectual disabilities if they qualify for SSI benefits. Candy Pickard, senior vice president of the National Down Syndrome Society, urged other members of Congress to support the bill introduced by Katko and Keating. Pickard said, quote, marriage is a basic civil right. Individuals with disabilities deserve the freedom to secure the legal protections of marriage, to build loving families, and pursue the opportunities that come with the institution of marriage, end quote. And that's the news for this week.
Let's get married today.
Let's get married.
Gonna get married.
Let's get married.
Married today.
Let's get married.
I love you anyway.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and this is Disability Beat. I'm joined today by two guests on the phone, Barb Resner, who coordinates Reaching Out for Answers, the Disability Resource Expo, which is happening in a couple of weeks, and Allison Boot, who is a member of that same steering committee, and her focus is on marketing. Welcome to both of you, ladies.
Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you. Barb, why don't you start out and just introduce yourself a little bit and tell us a little bit about the history of the expo, and then we'll talk to Allison and have her explain her history a little bit and what her role is.
All right, that sounds good. Well, we actually are in our 12th annual year with the expo. We began in 2007. It was an idea that stemmed out of the Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board and Mental Health Board. They wanted a place for folks to come and learn about what resources were out there for a person with a disability.
As Vicki said, my name is Allison Boots. I've lived in Urbana, Illinois for about 3 years now, and I've been involved with the expo for the last couple of years. I have a master's in communication. I studied a lot of marketing and communication in college. So that's been my main role on the committee. Specifically with social media, I handle our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And I've found that the expo is a testament to how inclusive Champaign-Urbana is as a community. So that's the main message that I try to drive across on social media.
Great. Barb? And we can talk a little bit more about all the details of that in a moment. So this event's been going on for about 12 years. And so what are some of the things that are traditional about the expo? And what are some of the things that are new this year? And either one of you can answer that question, or both.
Sure. Traditionally we have a lot of exhibitors that will be there. In fact, we are at 107 exhibitors this year, which is twice the size of when we began back in 2007. And so there are exhibitors that will be sharing information and resources about all types of disabilities or that, you know, can benefit. We will have our entertainment this year. Also is provided each year. We try to make sure that our entertainment is provided by people with disabilities, and that is what we're going to do again this year. We have a service dog demonstration, which actually Allison might want to talk a little bit more about, but that's going to be happening. We have John Coppas, who is an old-time country music musician, and he's going to be entertaining us. We have the Rosecrans Drum Circle, which is new for this year. And then we're going to be featuring theater in the community through some video presentations.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
So Allison,
I was going to
have Allison go ahead and tell us a little bit about the service dog presentation, and then we'll come back to the other, okay?
Great.
Yes, my husband and I will be doing a demonstration of sorts with our service dogs. He has had Murdoch for a little over 5 years. I've only had Shine for about 8 months, but they are both very well trained, and we tend to get a lot of questions about, you know, what they do for us, so we thought that the expo would be a good place to showcase that. So we will be showing, you know, how they can help us get through doorways and retrieve things off the floor, and talking about how they're such good companions to us. We thought that the expo would be a really good place to showcase that, because I believe over 2,000 people are expected to attend this year. Mm-hmm. So we are very, very excited to be able to reach that many people.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of misconceptions out there about service dogs, and that people just say they have a service dog and buy a vest online so that they can take them places with. But that is not the truth, is it?
No, it's not. And that's something that we are always trying to combat. So I think that being able to have this demonstration and discussion will be very helpful.
Right. Yeah. So that's, what is the, before we get too much further, what is the date, the time, the location of the Resource Expo, Barb?
Yes, the date is Saturday, March 30th, and it is from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Vineyard Church at 1500 North Lincoln Avenue, Urbana. It is a free event also, and very family-friendly, so we really encourage everybody to come out.
We'll come back at the end and give all that information about the date, time, and the place again so that people can make sure and get that down. But they also, you've also done a really good job of getting the word out in lots of different ways. So what are some of the ways that people might have heard about the expo if today is the, you know, maybe isn't the first time they've heard it?
Well, sure, it's not. My guess is they're seeing it everywhere and are going to see it even more in the next couple of weeks.
I saw it on the back of the bus yesterday.
Right. We are using the MTD, so you'll see the signs on the back of buses. You will see we'll have an electronic billboard that's going to go up shortly down on Neal Street. We have brochures and posters out in the community, actually throughout East Central Illinois. We are doing a lot of radio, some television, all kinds of things just to get the word out. Our yard signs will be going up, and you know, you should see it everywhere.
Yeah. And Allison, you've been working on the social media stuff, right?
Yes. I tried to post at least something every day, if not a couple of times a day. I put up some things about the prizes that we're going to offer this year, because there are raffles that we encourage people to participate in, so I've been telling people about that. I recently wrote an article for the Prime Life Times about how inclusive the expo and our community is. So I've been posting that and trying to publicize that.
Mm-hmm.
And just in general, just letting people know how much fun it's going to be, because it really is a fun event to participate in.
You know, it occurred to me, and, you know, we go every year, and we have been every year because I have a daughter with a disability, as you know. But, you know, the more I participate in the expo, the more I think that people who are not connected to the disability world could really benefit by attending. What's your viewpoint on that?
I do think that they anybody and everybody will benefit. It's a great way to learn about various kinds of disabilities, but also just to, you know, have a better understanding of and kind of you know, get rid of the stigma. Let's focus on ability, not disability.
Allison, do you have anything to add to that?
I completely agree with that, and that's something that I really tried to emphasize in my postings and in the article. I was talking about this isn't just for people with disabilities. It's for caregivers, friends, family, acquaintances, anyone that's curious about not just the disability community, but our community and surrounding communities in Illinois, because it really has grown and become a very inclusive event.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And I think that people could benefit simply by virtue of the fact that there are so many types of disabilities that this expo contains services for. So, for instance, you know, there are certainly things for people with intellectual disability, but there are also resources for veterans, for people with mental health issues, for people who have physical needs. What am I missing, Barb? I know there are more.
Oh, you know, education, recreation, transportation.
Young children, yes.
We're really putting some emphasis this year, stronger emphasis on seniors services. And, you know, we have programs such as a couple of adult day centers,
mm-hmm.
the Circle of Friends, and Champaign County Nursing Home has those programs. We have Hospice Hearts that will be with us this year. Excuse me.
And what is Hospice Hearts?
you know, it's a great organization that I have just heard about recently, you know, fairly recently last year. They will help to find foster situations or adoption situations for pets of people with disabilities or seniors who maybe just can't care for their pets at this, you know, at this point in their lives. So, you know, we're really excited to have them there. We have also some great children's services that, you know, in the past they've kind of been placed throughout the expo. We are actually going to have a children's service wing of the expo this year, and it's going to be right near the our children's activity area where lots and lots of activity is going on that day. You know, balloon animals and games and, you know, just tons of fun for the kids.
Yeah, and it always is a lot of fun. And Allison says you're expecting about 2,000 people. I would not be surprised if it was more than that, especially if the weather's decent.
We never know, but, you know, hopefully the weather will be good and we'll just see lots and lots of folks come out.
Are you still looking for volunteers for this event? I know that there is always a great need that, you know, there are people in charge on the steering committee that are always looking for volunteers.
We do. We can definitely use all volunteers yet. If anyone is interested, they can go to our website at disabilityresourceexpo.org, and there's a button to click on volunteers. And you can register online and come join us and, you know, help us out that day. We'd really appreciate it.
And are there any other ways that people can help support this organization or this event? I know that it's gone through some changes in recent years, but I think it's always in need of some kind of support.
Definitely. You know, we are pretty much operate on donations, both cash and in kind. We do like to give out some great door prizes and raffle prizes throughout the day. Folks can donate, you know, a prize for us. Of course, cash donations are always accepted and appreciated. And we put out a nice resource book every year, which visitors to the expo can take home with them. It's also online on our website, and you know, that is funded by, you know, our the community and helping support us.
You know, I think that if you never even get to spend more than 15 minutes at the expo, it's worth going for the resource book alone, because you never know really what you're going to need in the future. All of us are getting older, you know, so we might need to tap into some of these organizations down the road. Allison, I interrupted. Yeah. What else do you have to add?
That's okay. I was just going to add to that by saying, you know, we do everything that we can to advertise it within the community, but people are very busy these days. So I think just helping to spread the word in any way you can is very supportive to the event.
Yeah, so if they like the Facebook page for the Disability Resource Expo and they just share some of your posts, just think about how many more people that will reach.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And by the way, WEFT is a co-sponsor of the Disability Resource Expo. I will be there with at a table, you know, talking about Disability Beat and sharing information about community radio. So really excited to be a part of that, as always. It's a lot of fun. What are we missing? Oh, we need to hear about the prizes.
Well, you know, we've got some great prizes. We're going to do a raffle this year that basically if you come and you visit the booth and you fill out our evaluation afterwards, you get to put a ticket in a basket. And we have got some great hotel packages that include hotel night, stay, and dinner for two. At a very nice restaurant. We got a couple of those.
We have, we're going to have some Cardinal tickets, I believe. We've got some, you know, great gift cards, restaurant gift cards, and so on. Lots of good stuff. Uh-huh. Lots of prizes for the kids as well. We're going to have some great prizes. The kids can enjoy engage in our annual scavenger hunt, which this year it is about television stars who have a disability. So the kids are going to get to go through the expo and find the information on those stars and get their card stamped, and then they can go back and get a prize.
Right, and there is a children's area at the expo too, but I think probably you'd want to clarify that is not a daycare, correct?
No, it is not a daycare. Parents can't leave their kids there, but they certainly can come and if both parents come, maybe one parent can go with the kids for a while the other parent looks through the exhibits, or just spend a little time there with the kids and then go do the exhibits. But we try to make it a fun day for everybody and a very informative day for everyone.
Yeah, and there are activities in the children's area as well?
Yes, there will be some prizes in there. There are snacks. And there's a bounce house. They can just come and enjoy.
That sounds great. Well, why don't we give the details one more time before we finish up, and the date, time, place, website, and maybe an email or phone number that people can get in touch with you.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yes, the 12th Annual Disability Resource Expo will be Saturday, March 30th, and it will be from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Vineyard Church, 1500 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana. We will have extra parking, by the way, and lots of disabled parking spots. For more information, you can call me, Barb Bressner, at 217-840-3198, or email at BJ Bressner, my last name, Bressner, @gmail.com. You can also find us on our website at disabilityresourceexpo.org and our Facebook page, facebook.com/resourceexpo.
Thanks so much, ladies. Barb Bressner, who is the coordinator, and Allison Boot, steering committee member and marketing director for the Disability Resource Expo. See you there.
No, I stand my ground. Won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground. And I won't back down.
This is WEFT Champaign, 90.1 FM. Listen to Disability Beat every Monday at 5 o'clock on WEFT Community Radio. At 5:30 each weekday, you can hear a different information program. On Mondays, we bring you Rootstock Radio coming up next. Then at 6, stay tuned for In the Know. This is Rootstock Radio.
Welcome to Rootstock Radio. Join us as host Teresa Marquez talks to leaders from the good food movement about food, farming, and our global future. Rootstock Radio, propagating a healthy planet. Now, here's host Teresa Marquez.
Hello and welcome to Rootstock Radio. I'm Teresa Marquez, and I'm here today with Betty Azumi, who is a registered dietitian, and she's an associate professor at the School of Public Health. And Betty focuses on issues at the intersection of nutrition, sustainability, and health equity, and she is the principal investigator for a wonderful project called Harvest for Healthy Kids, an organization that connects children in early care and education settings to local agriculture through classroom education and food service modification and family engagement. Today, Betty and I are going to talk about a really, really important topic, and that is school lunch and how